Life Audio.
Welcome back to Sparkle Speak. I'm your host, Catherine, and this is a podcast sponsored by Sparkle, a women's ministry with the purpose of connecting women through inspiration and encouragement. This week, we have on a very special guest, Joe Herman. Joe is married to Chad, one of my husband's college roommates and a coworker of mine when we worked for a college ministry group. Joe and I talk about God's kindness, rebellion, being a wife and teammate to a youth pastor in Iowa, and Joe proclaims one of my favorite phrases of the episode: "It is a good place to be in the center of God's will." So, after a few words from our sponsors, please enjoy this episode by my friend Joe.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, Joe. So I'm so excited to hear from you today. Our first question is very basic, and yet everyone has a very unique answer to this. So I would love to hear from you. When did you first start identifying yourself as a Christian, or like, how did you come to know God?
Yeah, this one was a really good one for me to get to dwell on this week as I thought about answering these questions. But I grew up in a home where my parents were really born again believers, really living out their faith. And I am so grateful for that. As I get older, I become more and more grateful that that is the family that God placed me in. So I got to grow up going to church, a really great gospel preaching church, and kind of grew up, yeah, like learning these truths. And I mean, I have a memory of my brother like praying to receive Christ. And I think the next day I was like, ain't he gonna like not do something that I haven't done yet? So I was like, I want to do that too. And I think I did truly believe at a young age. But I think maybe other people have similar experiences if they've grown up in the church, but I think it was more gradual for me. I know I hit a point in high school where I thought, you know, I don't know when the Holy Spirit entered into my life, but I know that I have him now. And I do feel really thankful to have grown up in a place where I was learning what was true. And so I maybe don't have a story that's as like black and white of I was living in all of this darkness. And now I've come into the light. It was more that, I mean, I definitely had to make my faith my own. And I think that happened, especially in like middle school and high school, where I really started to believe for myself. And it wasn't just what my family believed. But it was really gradual. So I can't say that I know like a specific time when I knew for sure. But I know I have him now. So it's been many years of God like affirming and growing that love for him.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, obviously, some people, like you said, have those like black and white stories where like they knew, they didn't know, and then all of a sudden something happened and they knew. But even at that, like, I like the word affirming that you mentioned, that God has just been constantly affirming your faith and your decision to walk with him, because that is what walking with the Lord is at the end of the day. It's like every day it's a choice, and it's just deepening that relationship with him. So yeah, thanks for explaining that so beautifully. And I guess like in that, so you said that you've, you know, grown up in a family that's kind of always like modeled, you know, what walking with the Lord has looked like to you. So I would just be curious, like, what experiences have you had that have like helped shape or change your view of God? Or have there been like any significant seasons or events that have really defined your faith journey?
Yeah. Oh, I love how you said modeled. That's like exactly, I couldn't have said it better. That's exactly how I feel like God has chosen to be so kind to me, is that he's given models of what it looks like to follow him. And this was a challenging question for me to think back, like your whole life, what things have changed my view of God, or like what seasons have really been defining. There are so many, you know, God is so good to bring us through so many things. But this is kind of one I always go back to, and it's the only story I have. Like, this is the only life I have, so these are the stories that God has given me. In college, I met this guy at a Christian camp, and he was a pastor's kid, and we started dating, and I had never dated anyone before, and so we started dating, and it was a really, just found out very quickly looking back, that he really was not following the Lord and not giving his whole life to God. And it just became a very toxic relationship for about 2 years, very on and off, very physical, very not God honoring. And it was such a, I think the reason that it sticks out to me is not so much because of the relationship, even though I made a lot of poor and unwise decisions, but because I really came to the end of myself during that season. And I really, I think, realized how much rebellion had been lurking inside of me. So kind of like what we were talking about, that I maybe don't have a story of intense darkness to like intense knowing and light. And I think that that was hard for me maybe to see, that I really had this rebellion inside of me. I wish that I hadn't made these bad decisions in this relationship, because God, but because he's been kind to me, and he did bring me out of that, I feel thankful for the things that he taught me. And just realizing that I think sometimes I thought about sin as if like I was sick and like God kind of helped me out. But going through that time, I really became so clear to me that no, I was dead in my trespasses and sins. Like Ephesians 2 tells us that we are completely bottom of the ocean dead. But because of Christ, he breathes life into us. And so I was just living in this false reality that it was like my goodness that was getting me in with God. And we know that there's no one righteous, not even one. So it's God's kindness that is what leads us to repentance. So I had, yeah, just during that time, so many times where I just felt like I didn't even know myself. And it was such a comfort to me that God knew me even better than I knew myself, because I felt like I was so far from everything that I believed, and felt like it was just always going to be this way. Like I was never going to be joyful again. I was just always going to feel so low. So if anyone listening to this needs to hear this, if you're thinking that it's just always going to be this way, that is not true. That is a lie straight from hell. It is not always going to be this way. This can redeem the years that the locusts have eaten, and it's his kindness that brings us to himself. So that's just a huge thing that I kind of always go back to, where I really saw God sanctifying me, and it was not fun, but it was really good. And I think another thing I thought of when I was looking at this question was just a really shaping time for me in my faith has been this last 5 years. So my husband, I've had a husband, Chad, who've been married for 5 years, and two kids, two boys, and we live in Iowa. But my husband is a youth pastor here. And so we, when we first got married, he was in seminary and I was in my master's for social work. And I feel like during that time, it was such a huge building of my theology. you know, I grew up in the church and knew a lot of what was true. But I think in this time, it's kind of like when one person goes to seminary, you both go to seminary. So that's a nice team effort for sure. But I'm so thankful because he would come home at night and he would talk about all the things that he was learning. And I think it made us really have to decide that we were going to really believe what the Bible says, because I think it can be really easy to say, well, I'm just going to kind of be silent on certain issues because I don't want to ruffle people's feathers or come off as judgmental. And I think there's a really loving way that we can love people well and have good, solid theology. So it's just really given me a love for the word. And I think being in ministry now, it's taught me a lot about what it means to just put my full weight on the gospel, to say, am I really willing to give up things in my life, like moving away from family and moving away from what's comfortable? Am I really willing to do those things for the gospel? And just the transition of all of that moving and stuff has been very revealing of any sort of sin that is trying to hide, just is brought to the surface. And that's a really good thing.
I like that you said too, that you ask yourself the question, like, am I really willing to do this for you? Because I think oftentimes an act of obedience is what leads to the blessing. And we first obey and then the blessing comes. And I don't know, I don't know how you feel, but like, sometimes it's like, okay, God, I've done X, Y, and Z. So now I can be done with the obeying now. Like, I already did it. I did my part. But it's like, nope, that's going to continue happening. And God's going to continue to ask things of us. And we have to continue to ask, am I really willing to do that?
Oh, it's so true. Just in everything, it so comes back to, what are our motives in it? Are we doing it because of some sort of something we want, like a selfish motive within ourselves to like check something off, or to say, oh, I've done enough now? Or is it because, like, flowing out of, because like how much we love the Lord and been to us? Yeah.
And how was that for you guys? Like, I know you touched on it, but with, you know, being asked to move to Iowa and, you know, start this life there, like, did you feel that tension there of like trying to figure out, okay, like, are we really willing to do this? Or what did that look like for you guys?
Yeah. So when my husband was in seminary, we kind of were talking about what we wanted to do. And it was kind of at that point that he decided he wanted to be, that God was calling him to be a youth pastor, which is actually where he became a believer, was in a youth group in high school. So that's a really cool part of the story. But we had decided that we were feeling pretty open to moving wherever. And while we absolutely love our families, just so grateful for both of our families, we did kind of sense a tug that the Lord wanted us to move somewhere else, just to have, I think, the time and the capacity to really pour into a church in a way that it is not bad in any way to be close to family. That is such a beautiful gift from the Lord. But I think God was just calling us to something that was different. And so we were looking in kind of lots of other states, and it was during COVID. COVID hit kind of like right in the middle of our process. And yeah, we, through lots of crazy things, kind of ended up in Iowa. So that is wild. I never thought I would live in Iowa. We again originally. So I miss the lake like it's a person sometimes. So if you're from Michigan, you probably understand that. But we love living in Iowa. It is big sky country out here. It's beautiful. Just moving away from family and creating new friendships. And it just takes a lot of effort and a lot of work to meet new people. But God has been so faithful to give us friendships and to give us, in a weird, like, to give us work to do, to give us kingdom work to do, which we can do anywhere. But he's been faithful to show us what to do here, for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love hearing that, and I love hearing how you guys have stepped out in faith and gone the road of, Abraham, where God just says, "I just want you to go." And you leave, you follow, and you just expect him to lead you and do the rest and take care of you guys. And he's certainly done that from what it seems, from my end. So I like watching that and just seeing you guys step into your calling too. And hopefully if anyone listening to this is like contemplating taking that leap of faith, like they can be encouraged by your story just to hear that, God is never going to leave you hanging or forsake you in your calling that he has for you.
Yes, that's so true. And it is a good place to be in the center of God's will. I would not be anywhere else, even if it meant that we were close to family or in a place that was familiar. So.
Yeah, I love how you said that. Well, thank you for sharing all of that. I'm so encouraged by you. I always am every time I talk to you. But the last question I have for you is just, do you have a favorite verse or something that you've been learning lately that you can share with us?
Yeah, I'm gonna have like an all-time favorite, I think, is Romans 8. Just the whole chapter is phenomenal, but especially Romans 8, 1 through 2. Just there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. I think I notice whenever I start to become discontent or really hard on myself in a way that it starts to affect my identity, this is the verse that I come back to, that no matter what I do wrong today, because I'm in Christ, there is no condemnation for me. And no matter what I do right today, right and wrong, there's no condemnation, because it's not myself that's getting me into the kingdom. It's Christ. So it's just such a good check for me, and an encouragement for me. But then just this week, I was really encouraged by Matthew 7:24 through 27. It's about the wise and the foolish builder, how the wise man built his house on the rock and the foolish man builds his house on the sand. And when the storms come, the house on the rock stands firm, and the house on the sand falls down with a great crash. And I was teaching my son Sai that song. I don't know if you know this song. It's like one of those children's Sunday school songs about this verse. You can Google it or something, but I won't sing it for you. But I was like, oh, this is so like great. What a good song to teach him, and like praying that he would remember this throughout his life and remember the truth of why we need to build our life on the rock of Jesus. And by the end of the week, it was just a rough week for me last week personally. I just really struggled with patience and compassion for my lovely children, and just by the end of the week felt angry and like a bad mom all at once, just like mad at my kids, but also like, oh my goodness, I've just like really failed this week. And I just really felt the Lord nudging at me that like, it's really nice you wanted to teach this song to Sai, but like, this is for you this week. Building your house on the sand, Joe. And that was just a really kind thing for God to do, to give it to me in a children's song, something that I've known for a long time, but obviously coming from the Word. But just that I can put my build my house on like my performance, or whether or not I'm a good mom, or just even on my own strength. And that is sinking sand. That is just not going to weather the storms of life. And it was just a really great encouragement to me and reminder that because I am in Christ, I do get to build my house on the rock. And that is going to weather the storms, because it's not dependent on me. I'm not holding myself up. God is holding me up. So this is something that we just see, I think, a lot too with students when we get to work with middle school and high school students in our youth group. It is so tempting to build our houses on things that are convenient, on our own strength, around being liked by people or accepted by people, being not judgmental, not knowing what's true. And those things are just, they're going to sink when hard things come. And so we just really think there's so much value in discipling students to know what the Bible says, because it's such good news, because there are so many hard things in life. No one is going to escape experiencing hard things. And that is why the gospel is such good news, because we can't be our own saviors. We need Christ. So that was just so encouraging to me this week. I was like praising God that he gave me that in the midst of a really hard week. He's
wow.
So good.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. I needed to hear that. I was just sitting here like, yep, I can relate to that. That's, you know, that he spoke to you in a children's song. That's very sweet, but so powerful. And a reminder that we need God just as much as our kids do. We always will. It's, you know, and it's hard to remember that sometimes. Actually, I'm going to throw you a curveball question because I'm very curious about this myself. We may not have to include this in the podcast, but maybe we will. But my question is, how do you like slow down and connect with God in the midst of busy motherhood of two young kids? And, you know, even anyone listening, just if they're in a busy season, like how do you, like just for some advice or whatever, like how do you do that? How do you find time with the Lord and like to really focus on building your life on solid foundation?
This is such a hard question. If anyone has it figured out, please call me. I want to know. But I think, I mean, there are like a few things that God has laid on my heart, even recently, like literally in the last 3 weeks. I think I was just realizing I was really running on fumes spiritually. And, you know, I'm like a pastor's wife. So hopefully that's encouraging to people. Not that I am any different, obviously, in any way. But, you know, like just a lot of my life revolves around this. You would think that maybe I would try to make more time for it. But yeah. My shame and, you know, humbling that it's really hard to make time for it when you're a mom. In any way. So, but even just the last couple of weeks, I have been trying to like teach Sai to take some quiet time with me. So like, I think I was realizing I was doing it kind of in times when he wasn't awake and like when my other kiddo was sleeping. And I was like, man, I really do want them to see how much I love the word and like to see me doing it and be engaging with what I am learning and reading. And so we have a time, not every day at all, but like we try to do like two or three times a week where like he gets a snack and I read my Bible and we just kind of sit together and he's allowed to ask me questions and stuff. But if he wants me to play with him, I say, oh, I love that you want to play, but like this is my time to read my Bible and talk to God, and this is your time to read books or eat your snack or, you know, do what you want to do. And God has been very compassionate to me and it's been going pretty well, but I'm sure there'll be seasons where it doesn't. But I think another thing really truly is like teaching my kids verses and songs, because those things, like I have to be engaging with that too when I'm teaching them. So that has been helpful and just encouraging then for me too, that when sometimes when Sai's playing, he'll start like singing a little song like, oh, Jesus loves me. I'm like, oh, yes. Like, I need to hear that. Jesus does love me, even when I'm like doing the dishes and feeling flustered about the day. But it's just, it is so important that we get that time, and knowing that there are seasons for everything. Like, my quiet time now does not look the same as it did when I was in college and didn't have a spouse or kids. And that's okay. It's maybe not as frequent as it could be. But finding time to have quality, quiet time is so important, where I'm, you know, I'm learning from the word and I'm also applying and thinking through how it's, how it needs to be walked out in the day to day. But yeah, that is question. I would love to hear what you have to say about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty much with you. Like, I've just been kind of experimenting and figuring out, you know, how can we do this? And I love that God spoke to you through, you know, what you were teaching Sai, though, because like a, you know, a simple Bible story that or something that we think is simple, it's like, no, that's really, you know, what sustains us and what gives us fuel to function in life and be the best version of ourselves. And even something so small as like, I know my oldest son, he's been like struggling with, you know, temper tantrums and big emotions lately. And one thing that I started doing recently is like when he's, you know, throwing a fit and screaming and crying, I just say, you know what, Vinny, like, let's like fold our hands and pray. And let's just pray to God and say, dear Jesus, please help me calm down. And I just tried it one day because I was like, I don't know what else to do other than pray. So I'm going to pray and ask him to pray and see what happens. And for the most part, like sometimes it really doesn't work. And I'm like, okay, well, whatever. But, you know, sometimes it does work. And sometimes he folds his hands and just like bows his head. And I'm like, okay, well, you know what? I'm glad to be teaching him that, because sometimes in my moments of feeling overwhelmed, like, what do? I pray. And so can I teach him to do the same thing? So I'm really, just trial and error and just trying to figure things out like that.
Yeah. Oh, that is so fruitful. That is discipling right there. That's so good to be teaching our kids, even if they're not understanding fully, but they're getting a muscle memory of what do I do when I'm freaking out? Oh, I need to pray. That's such a good thing for us kids. So good.
Yeah. But yeah, a lot of trial and error, but I love your idea to do quiet times together. I should try that. It may work, it may not, but trying is all we can do sometimes.
That's right.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Jo. This has been amazing. I love everything you shared with us. And like I said before, I always just feel encouraged when I chat with you and hear what God is doing in your life, what he has done, and just get a snippet into your walk, because I think it's very admirable. So I appreciate you coming on here to share with listeners, and I'll just be, you know, hoping and praying that this falls on the ears that need to hear it.
Yeah, love that. Thank you so much. I don't have, you know, very unique experiences, I don't feel, but take any opportunity to share how God has changed my life. He's so good. So loved getting to talk to you and catching up.
Yeah, amen to that. Thank you for tuning into this week's episode of Sparkle Speak. I want to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you will find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more. And if you'd like more information on Sparkle, you can visit us at sparklefaith.com. That's all for now, and I hope your week is filled with the sparkle we all need.
There's no better way to start your day than spending time in God's Word and in prayer. Don't know where to start? We have a free daily prayer podcast created to help you do just that. The Your Daily Prayer podcast delivers a thoughtful devotional and timely prayer to you 7 days a week. Gain inspiration, faith, and encouragement with daily messages in 10 minutes or less. To start listening now, search Your Daily Prayer on your favorite podcast app or visit lifeaudio.com.